Today's shir is Masechta Yuma Daf Yud Daled. We will begin on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, five lines from bottom. Tana Rabbanim. Midaraisa, if someone loses one of the close relatives from for whom he has to sit shiva, for whom he's an avel, the day of the ptira of that individual, he is an einan midaraisa. The night after the ptira, he is an einan midrabbanan. The halach of einan aninus teaches us that a kohen hedjit, who is an einan, if he does the avoida, the carbon that he brings is possible. The Al-Gemara begins by teaching us Tana Rabbanan, kohen gadol makriv einan. A kohen gadol may bring a carbon when he's an einan rachman tzlan. However, ve'ena oichel. Even though he's allowed to bring the carbon, he's allowed to be the one to be makriv of the carbon when he's an oinon, he may not be the one to, he may not eat that carbon. He can't, even a kohen gadol may not eat kotshim when he's an oinon. Rabbi Yehuda says, kol hayoyim. Ask the Gemara immediately, what did Rabbi Yehuda mean with this statement, kol hayoyim? What does he mean by saying that? Says the Gemara, Amar Rava lo nitzrucha. What it means to teach us is El Levi b'toch beisai. The halacha according to this point of the Gemara is that not only may a kohen gadol bring a carbon according to Rabbi Yehuda when he's an einan, but we bring him from his home to bring that carbon. And the purpose is, since he's allowed to do the avoda when he's an einan, we want to help alleviate his pain, and the way we will be able to help alleviate his pain is by bringing him to the Beis HaMikdash and having him do the avoda, and that will help alleviate the pain that he's suffering, Rachman Tzlan, from being an oina. Omalei Abaya. So Abaya says to Rava, and as I saw the Merami Sada explains, that since the day when anybody brings a carbon is considered a yontif for him, and obviously on yontif, a person is besimcha, so that's why the Gemara is saying, since he's bringing the carbon, let him be in that frame of mind. Amalei Abaye, so Abaye says to Rav, Hashtar Bihuda, I don't understand what you're saying. Hashtar Bihuda fkuri mefkinalei, a kohen who does the avoida when he's a oinen, we disqualified the avoida, the tanya, as the Brisa teaches us, if a kohen was doing the avoida on the mizbeach, v'shama, in the middle of that avoida, he discovered, shemes lemes, that one of his close relatives passed away, and therefore he became an oinen, he has to stop doing the avoida, v'yotze, and leave the Beis HaMikdash, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yigmar. Rabbi Yossi says he may complete the avoida that he's in the middle of, and then stop and go home. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda takes a very strict approach to somebody doing the avoida when he's an oinon rachman tzlan. And how, asked the Gemara, at Amrit, and now you want to suggest that my sinalei, we bring him mitoch beisai? So there's a very big machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos how to learn this Gemara. We in Mitzvah Shem are going to learn the Gemara like Rashi. At this point, I'm going to also mention Tosfos' pshat, but then the rest of the shir we're going to learn with Rashi's pshat. Rashi explains that the Braisa here is referring to a kohen hedjit, and the kohen hedjit heard while he's doing the avoda that Rachman Tzlan, he asked that he became an of oinen. Rabbi Yehuda holds that he has to stop doing that avoda immediately. According to Rabbi Yossi, the halach is he could complete doing that avoda. He doesn't have to stop in the middle of the avoda. So according to Rashi, the Gemara's question is, here we see that Rabbi Yehuda takes a very strict approach towards an oinen. That even if he's in the middle of the avoda, he has to stop doing the avoda. And it doesn't make any sense that Rabbi Yehuda will now, by a kohen gadol, take a much more lenient approach and say that not only is he allowed to do the avoda, but that we should bring him deliberately to the Beis HaMikdash to do the Avodah when he has become an Oinon. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Tosfos explains that according to his approach of the Gemara, is the Braisa is speaking about a Kohen Gadol. And according to him, the Gemara's question is that Midrabonon, that even though Midraisa, as we began today's shir, the halacha is that a Kohen Gadol could do the Avodah, Midrabonon, a Kohen Gadol may not do the Avodah. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, how do we understand this Gemara that says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, he should be brought from home to do the Avodah, when according to Rabbi Yehuda, a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to do the Avodah Midrabonon. But again, as we said, we're going to learn the Gemara the way Rashi explains the Gemara. So our Gemara just taught us, Rabbi Yossi's opinion is Yigmar, that he should complete the Avodah that he began, even though he has discovered that Rachman Tzlan, he has become an Oinon. So I saw a very interesting Shaila. We know that if there's a Moil, a Sandik in a Shul, then we don't say Tachnun. On Monday and Thursday, we don't say the Hirotzen after the Kriyas HaTorah. So the question that the Chashukei Chemed quotes is what happened if we said Tachnun, not knowing that one of the people in the shul was going to be a Moil or a Sandik, and then somebody discovered they're going to be a Moil or a Sandik that day, do we say the Hirotzen? So he quotes from Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld Zatzal. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld was a well-known Moil, and that's exactly what happened to him. He discovered after they had said Tachnun already that he was going to be a Moil that day. And the question is that should they say the Hirotzen after Kriyas HaTorah? And Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld said that since they had already said Tachnun, if they would have known before they said Tachnun they was going to be a Moil that day, of course they wouldn't have said Tachnun. But they didn't know. So he brings a raya from our Gemara where Rabbi Yossi says, the Kohen was doing the Avodah, and then the Shama, he discovered that he is Oinon. So Rabbi Yossi said, Yigmar. And we're going to learn that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So we see that if Avodah Baninus, which is an Issa Daraisa, the halacha is Yigmar is Avodah, certainly, in a situation like this, where it's not a deraisa, the whole issue of saying Tachnun, not saying Tachnun, Yiratzen, we could say it. And the Shvus Yaakov, Shas Shuvah Shvus Yaakov, Chelek Aleph Siman Zayin, discusses a shaila that's relevant to Oinon. We know that Oinon is part of the mitzvahs. He doesn't say brachas, he doesn't daven. So let's say somebody becomes an Oinon, Nachman Tzlan, in the middle of the davening. So the halacha is that the question is, should he finish the davening or should he stop where he is? Because the halacha is that a oinon has no right to say, well, I'm going to be machmer and I'm going to daven even though I'm not allowed to. And again, the Shvus Yaakov brings our Gemara and he says that our Gemara is a raya, that since the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that the halacha is yigmar, he should finish the davening that is a middle. Certainly, he says that we could be even, if we're makel in our Gemara, the halacha is that we certainly should be makel in that case, because an oinon, Rachman Tzlan, doing avoida when he's an oinon, is an issa deraisa. An oinon davening is certainly not an issa deraisa. However, the Mishnah, so he says that he should finish the davening. And that's the opinion of the Chochmas Odom as well. But the Mishnah Brura in Simen Ayin Aleph Sif Katan Yud Aleph says that he doesn't want to make a final psak. He says, Yesh Deis B'zeh Ben Achroinim. There are various different opinions amongst the Achroinim. The Sharit Shuva, in fact, brings a number of Paiskim that pass one way and the other, and therefore it's a machloikus. Everybody should do as their rabbonim tell them. Elam Rava. So now we're back to where we started. The Gemara says it doesn't make sense to say that Rabbi Yehuda would allow the Kohen Gadol to be called from his home when he became an Oinon to specifically do the Avodah. Ela Marava Mai Kol Hayom. What was meant when Rabbi Yehuda made the statement Kol Hayom? Loim Sheena Oivid Kol Hayom. That what he meant is just the opposite. The Medrabonon, a Kohen Gadol is not a duty Avodah when he's an Oinon the whole day of the Misa, which as we started the shir, is the day when he's a Oinon Midaraisa. And the reason was, Gzeira Shema Yoichel, we're concerned that if we allow him to do so, he may come to eat Kachim. So the Pashpasha in the Gemara is that the Gemara here is referring to the day that he became an Oinon. With that day, as we began today's shir, he's an Oinon Midaraisa. And that day, we're concerned that, as I said also at the beginning of the shir, that even though Midaraisa, Kohen Gadol, is a lot of duty, avoida, the day when he's an Oinon, still, he may not eat Kabonis when he's an Oinon. And that's why Chazal said, don't do avoida, because we're concerned that if you're going to be allowed to do, if you're going to do the avoida, you may come to eat from the Kabonis, which you may not be allowed to do. And the Pashup Shad is that the Magen Avraham says that we're concerned that the Kohen Gadol is going to say to himself, if I'm allowed to do the Avodah, presumably I'm also allowed to eat the Kachim, and then he's not going to realize that there is a difference between doing the Avodah and eating the Kachim. The Rishash says that a different Pshat, while since he's doing the Avodah, he'll become involved in doing the Avodah, and he won't realize that he's now that he's not supposed to eat the kachim, and he's going to eat the kachim. And of course, the Ritva explains the Gemara that why the Rabbanan have the right to do this, because we have a rule that the Rabbanan could always be mevatel a mitzvah d'oraisa, because mid'oraisa was saying the Kohen Gadol may do the avoida. But here it's a situation of shev al taisa. We're not actively telling him to do something. That here we're saying that though that just don't do the avoida. But I saw that Chroinim asked a question. There's a famous Taz. The Taz asks a question that we know that if a mila falls out on Shabbos, we do the bris. The Torah says, "Obiyom Hashmini Yimel B'Sar Losai." So ask the Taz, why don't we find that just like Chazal said that if Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, we blow the shofar. We don't blow the shofar. If Sukkot falls on Shabbos, we don't take the aluminum. Because there's a gzeira of Shema Yavirena, because we may come to carry the shofar or the aluminum. So why didn't they make the same gzeira by Mila b'Shabbos? So the Taz says a very important concept. He says, since the Torah Kedoshah says, B'yom HaShmini Yimel B'Sar Losoi, the Torah Kedoshah explicitly says that we'll have to do a Mila b'Shabbos, Chazal can't say something which the Torah said is mutter, is usser. So they ask, here the Torah says explicitly that when a Kohen Gadol Rachman Tzlon is an Oinon, he's allowed to do the Avodah. Yet our Gemara is telling us that even though the Torah Kedosha says beferish that he's allowed to do the Avodah when he's an Oinon, he shouldn't do it. So this is a very big question on the opinion of the Taz. The halacha is that as we're learning the midaraisa, Kohen Gadol could do the avoida with his oinon. So I saw the mefarshim explain why indeed is that the halacha. So I saw the sefer of Yedaber Moshe explains that the Torah Kedosha tells the kahanim yain v'sheich al teisht. They may not drink any wine. Why are they not allowed to drink wine? Because wine serves as an external way of causing a person to be besimcha. And a person is not supposed to rely on an external method on becoming besimcha. A kohen is supposed to be at the level of simcha even without external stimulus. That's why the Torah says, V'yayim v'seich al teisht. Similarly, the kohen gadol who wears the shemayna begadim, the kohen gadol who wears the shemayna begadim has to be in a constant state of simcha. And since he has to be in this constant state of simcha, we cannot allow him to do the avoida when he's, we cannot allow him to do the avodah when he's an oinin rechmon l'tzlon, because that's a contradiction to what the Kohen Gadol represents. The Kohen Gadol represents that he's besimcha all the time. Ask the Gemara. So now we're learning that the way to understand Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that actually a Kohen Gadol may not do the avodah midrabanon when he's an oinin. Amalei Rav Adbar Havel Rava. Umi Gaz Rabbi Yehuda. Is that indeed the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that if a Kohen Gadol is an oinin, we don't allow him to do the avodah because we're concerned Shem Yoichel that he may come to eat from the kachim? But Tanan, we learned in our first Mishnah that we discussed extensively in our previous year. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Isha Ches Maskinan Lo, that we designated a backup wife for this Kohen Gadol, Shem Thomas Ishtay, out of the concern that his wife might pass away. And we learned, if his wife will pass away, of an avodah. Now the question is, how can we allow him to do the avodah? Like God's Rabbi Yehuda, then we just learned that Rabbi Yehuda said that if somebody does that, the Kohen Gadol, when he's an avodah, when he's a Kohen Gadol, he may not do the avodah when he's an oinin, because we're concerned, Shema Yoichel, because maybe he's going to come to eat from the kabanas. Amalei. So Rava answered to Rav Adar Bar Hava, Hachi Hashta, is that a good question? Hasam, in the case of our Mishnah, Kim de Yom Kippurim Hu, since it's Yom Kippur, the Kul Amalei Achli, and nobody's eating on Yom Kippur, Nami Lo Yosel Meichel, we're not concerned that this Kohen Gadol is going to come eat, because nobody's eating Kachim. Hacha, whereas the subject that we're learning in today's shiur, where we're speaking about the Kula Alma Achli, where everybody's eating, it's not Yom Kippur, we're concerned that if we allow him to do the Avoida, Nami Asla Meichel, he'll come to eat as well. The question that the Cheshek Shloim, however, asks, is that there's a much more fundamental difficulty in understanding this halacha. The halacha is that none of the kabbonis that are brought on Yom Kippur are kabbonis that are eaten. The chattas apneimis that are brought on Yom Kippur are burnt chutz l'machna. The oilis, of course, are completely burnt on the mizbeach. The seir achattas achitzin is not able to be cooked on Yom Kippur. You have to wait till after Yom Kippur. So, and there's really no reason to be concerned that the Kohen Gadol is going to start eating raw meat. So the Gemara should have said, there's no carbon available to eat. So Siach Yitzchak answers that there is a carbon that maybe we could be concerned that he'll eat. And that is, if the Kohen Gadol, or not just the Kohen Gadol, if carbon shlomim were brought on Erev Yom Kippur, and we know that halacha is that a carbon shlomim is nechal, is eaten l'shnei yom v'layla echad, for 2 days and one night. So that carbon shlomim is available to be eaten now on Yom Kippur. So therefore, the Gemara's question is, why aren't we concerned? To which the Gemara says, we don't need to be concerned because since no one is eating carbonus, we don't have to worry that the Kohen Gadol will eat carbon on Yom Kippur. So the Mitzvah Eisen asks a question. He says, in Masechet Pesachim, Rabbi Yehuda holds that one may not do B'dikas Chametz after the time you're not allowed to eat Chametz, because we're concerned that you may come to eat the Chametz. But ask the Mitzvah Eisen, our Gemara just said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, even when he has these types of considerations, in a situation when no one is eating, he doesn't have that consideration. So if it's after the Zman Achilas Chametz on Erev Pesach, so no one's eating Chametz at that point, so why would he make a gzeira that don't do B'dikas Chametz, you may come to eat the Chametz? Just like in our Gemara, we see that if no one's eating, he agrees, our Gemara just said, that there's no reason to make a gzeira. So the Mitzvah Eisen says a Pashto Teretz. Since Chametz, a person eats all year round, we're more concerned that he may come to eat chametz, even though everybody else is not eating chametz. If that's the teretz, it doesn't really help us. So Yom Kippur also, and our Gemara, people eat all year round. So if people eat all year round, why are we not concerned that he may come to eat on Yom Kippur, the kachim? Says the Mitzvah Eisen, Yes, people eat chametz all year round. On Erev Pesach, they don't eat chametz. But they eat other food. And therefore, we're concerned. Since they eat chametz all year round, and they are allowed to eat on Erev Pesach, they're not allowed to eat chametz, this person may come to eat the chametz. But on Yom Kippur, it's not just that we don't eat. We don't eat at all. Since we don't eat at all, the Gemara says, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree, there's no reason to be concerned that the Kohen Gadol is going to eat from the Kachin. Ask the Gemara, but there's a much more fundamental question. Yesterday we learned that there was a whole elaborate system, we learned in our shiur yesterday, how to prevent the Kohen Gadol from being married to two wives, but at least have one wife. And the way we learned the shiur was that he gave his wife a get with a tanai. So ask the Gemara, v'chi agavna michayla alinus from a garsha. He divorced her. If he divorced her, she's not one of his close relatives. If she's not one of his close relatives, there's no din of aninus. Answers the Gemara, nadanis l'chayla. Correct. She's not really his wife, and therefore, if she's not really his wife, there is no aninus. However, it truly my literature. This is a woman that he was married to. And not just that it's a woman that he was married to. It's a woman that he really only divorced because of the halachic requirements that we have been discussing. So then he's certainly not in the proper frame of mind. And the Torah Kedosha, when it speaks about eating kabbonis, says, L'cho nesatim l'moshcha. And Rashi explains, L'moshcha loshin gedula. You're supposed to eat kabbonis in a very special frame, proper frame of mind. This Kohen Gadol, who lost his wife, who he only divorced, not because there was any problems in that marriage, their only divorce is only because of the halachic requirements, is not in the proper mind from to be able to eat kabbonis. And that's why we would normally make a gzeira, not for the reason that we just spoke about on Yom Kippur. So the question is, does one become an oinon if somebody loses a wife whom he divorces? He says, even in a case that somebody loses his wife who he had to divorce, not because there was a problem in the marriage, the halacha is he's not an oinon. Because we can't make somebody an oinon who's not an oinon. And she really is not one of those close relatives. And if she's not one of those close relatives, he doesn't become an oinon. But as we just explained, that doesn't take away, we can't change his frame of mind. And since his frame of mind is not where it should be, because this woman is an oinon, this woman was a person he was married to, this person that he had a relationship with, and therefore he can't eat kachim even though he's not an oinon. What happens on the other side? What happens if we have a couple that were estranged from each other, they were planning on getting divorced, and then one of them passes away? So technically, legally, they're still married. So does the spouse become an oinon under those circumstances or not? So the Marshal says that under those circumstances, a very bechiddush from the Marshal, he says there's no chiv of shiva, there's no chiv of aninus under those circumstances. Because the whole point of shiva and aninus, it represents because there's a husband and wife here. But this husband and wife who are planning on getting divorced, he says, there's no shiva, there's no aninus. So we've discussed from the beginning of the Masechta Baruch Hashem that for the 7 days before Yom Kippur, we sequestered a Kohen Gadol. And now the Mishnah begins to discuss, what do we do during these 7 days? Says the Mishnah, Kol Shivas HaYomim, Hu Zayrikas Adam. We want to have the Kohen Gadol being well practiced in doing the Avodah. So therefore, every day we bring a Karban Tamid in the morning and the afternoon. The Kohen Gadol is the one that does the Zrikas Adam. He's the one that's makdid the Ketoris. He's the one that does the Ketoris that we bring every day. Meitiv as a Menorah. Meitiv Menorah means to clean out the Menorah every morning from the ash and the wicks that were there from the night before. That's the opinion of Rashi. The Ramban, however, explains that a Tavas Neris means putting in new oil and new wicks for the lighting of the menorah. And the Rambam's opinion is that that not only does it include cleaning out the menorah and preparing it again, but he says that it includes being madlik the neiros. And furthermore, the Rambam's opinion is that even if that everybody will agree that the halacha is that you have that the kohen gadol has to light the menorah during those 7 days, the avoda of lighting the menorah every day was that they used to clean out the menorah in the morning and then light it in the morning and light it in the afternoon. As the pasuk says, "Babayka babayka batira esaneris yakdireno, or bahalos arna esaneris ben abayim yakdireno." So according to Rashi, in the morning the menorah was cleaned out, and in the evening the menorah was lit. But the Rambam disagrees, and the Rambam says that in the morning they also, if any of the candles of the menorah were extinguished, in the morning they relit those candles, that the menorah should be on all days as well. Now the question is, according to this difference of opinion that we just said, why will Rashi hold? The Mishnah says, Meitiv Esaneiros. What does Meitiv Esaneiros mean? Does it mean that he only has to clean out the menorah? But according to Rashi, he doesn't have to light the menorah those 7 days. Or, certainly, he has to light the menorah as well. Rashi is not clear what the din is regarding the kohen gadol lighting the menorah. Makrivus Aroishus Aregel, the common tamid, the roish and the regel, he was makrivit every day as well. So our Mishnah began that the kohen gadol did these avoidas for the 7 days. So the question is, the first thing we learned that we're going to learn, the kohen gadol that was done in the Beis Hamikdash every morning was a Trumas Hadeshen, clearing off the ash from the Mizbeach. And our Mishnah doesn't say if the Kohen Gadol did it. So the Sfas Emes says that there's a Machloikus Rishonim, if even on Yom Kippur, the Trumas Hadeshen had to be done by the Kohen Gadol. So he wants to say that our Mishnah is a Raya, that Trumas Hadeshen doesn't have to be done by the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, if the on Yom Kippur, so if it doesn't have to be done by the Kohen Gadol, he doesn't have to practice it. Amishta said that he also does Makav as a Roish as a Regal. What about the other parts of the carbon tamid? The Mishnah doesn't mention it. So the Tosfos Yontif says that our Mishnah mentions Roish for Regal, that because those are the first of the limbs of the carbon tamid that are brought on the Mizbeach. But truthfully, he brings all of them. Furthermore, he says that Sari disagrees, and he says that no, the only limbs of the carbon that he brings are the Rosh and the Regel. But the rest of the limbs, since as we know all year round, bringing up all of the Evarim on the Mizbeach was done by many Kohanim, we don't want to stop that on Yom Kippur, on the 7 days before Yom Kippur, just because we want to have the Kohen Gadol in practice. So the Mefarshim ask, why doesn't it mention Shechita? It starts with the Zrikas Adam, that the Kohen Gadol did the Zrikas Adam. Why doesn't our Mishnah mention that he also did the Shechita? We want to have him in practice. So one pshat that I saw is that the Shechita that's done on Yom Kippur is different than the shechita that's done all year round. All year round, when they shecht the animal, they completely cut the neck. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol only begins the cutting of the neck, and somebody else completes it. So since it's not the same shechita that's done those days, that's done on Yom Kippur, and we're learning that the purpose of this exercise is for the Kohen Gadol to be in practice, he's not going to be in practice by doing it this way, and therefore he didn't shecht. But I saw two other pshatim. The Mriemis gives two other pshatim. One pshat he suggests is that the halacha is that a Talmud Chacham has to be a shaychet. So the whole reason we're doing this is so the Kohen Gadol should be in proper practice. Shechita, he knows anyway. Another pshat that he suggests is that if somebody needs to become a shaychet, he can't become a shaychet in 7 days. Our Mishnah is saying that during these 7 days, he can be put into the proper practice. That's regarding all other avoiders. This avoider can't be done in 7 days. B'shach kol yomim, the rest of the year, what is the status of the kohen gadol? And rotzel hakriv, makriv. If there's any carbon that he wants to be makriv, he has the right to be makriv that carbon. Because says the Mishnah, the loch is, kohen gadol makriv chel b'roish, he has a right to take from any, he has a right to be makriv any carbon that he wants, v'noitel chel b'roish, and he can take the portion of the carbon that he ever wants. And the Rambam even says that any avoider that the Kohen Gadol wants to do, he's allowed to do. And therefore the Rambam says, not only regarding Kabbonis, but we're going to be spending a lot of time speaking about the Ketairis. It says the Rambam, if the Kohen Gadol wants to do the Ketairis at any point during the year, he has a right to do so. Mantana asked the Gemara, who is the Tana of our Mishnah, that for the 7 days before Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol did all the avoid in the base of Mikdash. Says the Gemara Amar of Chizda, the like of Akiva. Our Mishnah doesn't seem to be following the opinion of Akiva. Dear Akiva, if we're going to say that follows the opinion of Akiva, Ha Amar, Rabbi Akiva teaches us, Tar Shanafala Hazar, if a person who's Tar and the Mechatis of the Paraduma mixture fell on him, the Loch is Temasai. He becomes Tamei. So ask the Gemara, according to Bekiva, Hechi Avad Avoida, how can we allow the Kohen Gadol to do the Avoida for these 7 days before Yom Kippur? We've also learned earlier in the Masechta that every one of the days they used to spritz on him the Mechatos out of concern that maybe he's a Tamei Meis that would not, that we weren't aware of. And according to Rabbi Kiva, he may be a Tamei Meis, but he also may not be a Tamei Meis. And if he's not a Tamei Meis, when the Mechatos fall on him, he becomes Tamei. And of course, a person who's Tamei is not allowed to do the Avoida. So how can we allow him to do the Avoida? It must be that our Mishnah is not following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. So the question is, who says Rabbi Kiva says that we did the Mechatos on him every day? So the Taisus Rosh explains that since we learned early in the Masechta that we learned the halacha of the sequestering of the Kohen Gadol from the Yimei Meluim, and the Yimei Meluim, we know they did Hazar every day, it makes sense that Rabbi Kiva is the man d'omer that holds that we did Hazar every day. The Ritva has a different approach. He says, our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah, it's an anonymous Mishnah. And throughout Shas, we know that Stam Mishnah, Rameyer. And Rameyer was the man, the Omer, that said that we did Hazar on the Kohen Gadol every day. The Tanya, as the Raisa teaches us, from where does Rabbi Kiva learn that if somebody who's Tor, who was spritzed with the Mechatos, he becomes Tamei? The Pasuk says, V'iza Tor ala Tamei. The Torah, when it speaks about putting the mechatos on somebody who was tamei, says v'hiza atah al tamei b'yoyim ha'shlishi b'yoyim ha'shvii. And the words al tamei are superfluous, says the Gemara. Rabbi Kiva learns from this pasuk al tamei tahor. If the mechatos was spritzed on somebody who's tamei tahor, he becomes tahor. But somebody who's tahor and the mechatos was spritzed on him, such an individual becomes tamei. Divrei Rabbi Kiva. The Chum Aimrim, the Chum disagree. They say, Ein Hadvarim Halolu Amurim, the Pasuk that speaks about El Bedvarim HaMekabim Tuma. But only if you spritzed it on somebody who's Mekabim Tuma. But something otherwise not. Ask the Gemara immediately, what did the Chacham mean with this statement? Kretnan says the Gemara means to teach us is as we learned in Masech the Parah. It teaches us, the Skavim Lahazas Al Behema. If the person who's spritzing the Mechatas intended to spritz it on an animal, v'hiz al adam, and it went on a person who was tamei. Im yesh be'ezov, we know that the way the mechatos was sprinkled on a person was by dipping a bunch of grass into the mechatos. So if there's water left over, yishna, you have to spritz it on that person again, but you don't have to dip it into it again. The water that's left in there is not considered water that became disqualified. The halacha is that water that was worked with, the mechatos, if they were worked with for another purpose, become disqualified. spritzing water on a behemah is not considered that the water was worked with, because the behemah is not mekabel tuma. However, says the Braisa, niskaven lahazas al adam, if you intended to spritz on a person, v'hizal a behemah, im yesh be'ezov, if there's still water there, lo yishna. That's water that's considered disqualified. Because since the water was spritzed on an animal, which is not mekabel tuma, so now that is not considered an act of hazor. It's considered an act of malacha. And if it's considered an act of malacha, it disqualifies the water. So now the Gemara goes into understanding the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan. My time the Rabbi Akiva, how does he learn that a tar that has water spritzed on him that becomes tamei? Nichta Rechman, because Rabbi Akiva says, the Torah could have just said, v'hiza tar olav. It would be enough to say the words, v'hiza tar olav. My ala tamei. Why does the Torah add the words ala tamei? Shma mino. What we learn from here is, ala tamei, if it's spritzed, the water is spritzed on somebody who's tar, tamei, that's when he becomes tar. But if he's spritzed ala tar, he becomes tamei. Rabbanan, and Rabbanan use this pasuk to teach us, devarim ha-mekabel tuma hudasa, that only hazor on somebody who's mekabel tuma is considered an act of hazor. Hazor on somebody who's not mekabel tuma, on the animal, is not considered hazor. Aval hocha, but in the case where you spritzed mechatas on somebody's tar, kavachaymahu, that person ought not to become tamei. Because if ala tamei, if you spritz the water on somebody who's tamei, the mechatas have the strength and the ability to make him tar, ala tar, so certainly if you spritz it on the tar, lekoshkein, that it remains tar. Rukiva, it's a very strong question. The mechatas are so powerful. The mechatas are so powerful that they make tamei people tar. And now we're learning in our shir that they make tar people tamei. Says the Gemara, that's exactly the Kama Shloima. That's exactly what Shloima Melech said in Koheles. He says, Amati ech kama v'yirchaikim meni. I thought that I was smart, but I didn't understand. In other words, he says, I thought that I was able to understand the halacha, but I didn't. Because indeed, this halacha that we're learning now, that if you spritz the mechatas on somebody who's tamei, he becomes tar. But if you become somebody who's tar, becomes tamei, I wasn't able to understand. But even though it doesn't make sense, that is, of course, the halacha. Rabbanan, how will Rabbanan understand the statement of Shloima? Says the Gemara, Hahu lemazo lemazon lov tar. The pasuk is coming to teach us in Koheles, the statement that Shlomo HaMelech made in Koheles was coming to teach us that the person who spritzes the mechatos, and certainly the person on whom the mechatos are spritzed, are tahor. But there's a new din that even the Rabbanan agree. Negei behen, somebody touches the mechatos, there the halacha is that he's tamei, and that was the halacha that Shlomo HaMelech had difficulty understanding. The Dubna Magid has a beautiful way of explaining this Gemara with a marshal. He says there were three people that were sick with the same disease. And the doctor, they all went to the same doctor, and the doctor all gave them the same medicine. The first patient did exactly as he was told by the doctor, and Baruch Shem, he got well. The second person considers himself an expert, that he knows what to do. And he didn't understand why the doctor was taking this course of treatment, and he didn't follow the instructions, and he passed away. The third patient was similar to the second patient, and he didn't understand what the doctor was telling him to do. And therefore, even though he didn't understand what the doctor told him to do, he's going to do what he said anyway. And therefore, he got better. He says the same pshat is to be understood here. The regular person does what the Torah says. He doesn't ask questions. If the Torah tells him to do something, he does it. And therefore, he'll be fine. Sometimes you have a person who thinks that he's smart, and he tries to understand what the Torah said. And therefore, Shlomo HaMelech said, the Torah says that a king should marry more than 18 wives. He says, I ani erba, I'll have more wives and v'lo yosel avoy, and they won't cause me to do the wrong thing. And we know that it happened. So said Shlomo HaMelech, I followed this. I started thinking. I started trying to understand and do what I think should be done, and it caused me to do the wrong thing. Marti echkema. I thought I'll be smart, and what happened by taking that approach? I went out off on the wrong path. Now I'm not going to make that mistake anymore. Whatever the Torah says, I'm going to do. If I don't understand what the Torah says regarding Parah Adumah, that won't prevent me from doing what the Halacha tells me to do, even if I don't understand. Ask the Gemara. Here it says that Rabbanan hold that the Mazen and the Mazen of a Tor. Ask the Gemara, is that true? The Mazen Tor is the person who spritzed the Mechatas Tor, the Ksiv. The Pasuk says, O Mazen Me'anida, Yechabes Begodov. So the Torah is very clear that the person who did the spritzing of the Parah Adumah has to clean his clothing because he's not Tor. Answers the Gemara, the Rabbanan say, my Mazah, what is the definition of Mazah that the Pasuk says? Negeya. Not somebody who spritzed the Parah Adumah, but somebody who touched it. The Ksiv asked the Gemara, how can we interpret, how can we define that the word Mazah means the person who touched it? There are two separate words in the Torah. One Pasuk says Mazah, the Ksiv Negeya. How can we say Mazah is Negeya? Void, Mazah by Kibbutz Begodim. The Torah only says that the mazah, the person who spritzes, requires to have his clothing clean because he became tar. Negeya, even though he became tamei, like by kibbutz begadim, because the Torah only says regarding the negeya yitma ad ha'arev, but not that he needs kibbutz begadim. So how could we say that? How could you say, says Rabbi Akiva to the Chachamim, that the definition of the word mazah is negeya? Says the Gemara, my mazah, the Rabbanan say you're right. Mazah doesn't mean that he is the person who spritzes it. It means noisei. The person who carries the mechatos becomes tamei, and to the degree that even the clothing that he's wearing become tamei. And the negeya is tamei, but not to the degree that he needs to clean his clothing. But the mazah, the one who spritzes the mechatos, doesn't become tamei at all. Ask the Gemara. So now we're saying the definition of the word mazah is noisei, the one that's carrying it. But ask the Gemara, if that's the definition, v'nichta rechmana noisei. So let the Torah say the word noisei. Why does the Torah, my tamik, say mazah? Why does it use the word mazah? And we're saying that mazah means noisei. Answers the Gemara, ha-kamashma, because the Gemara wants to teach us another halacha, that in order to be considered the mechatos, to be matama, somebody who carries them, you have to have shear azor. You have to have the mount that is the proper shear. The Gemara doesn't identify what is the shear. And the Rishonim explain that the shear is the mount that you would spritz on a person who's tamei, and it would be able to hit him and make him tahor. They'll be able to feel the moisture, and therefore he would become tahor. Ask the Gemara, this explanation is understandable, that there's a shear, how much water that there's an amount that he has to have to become tar. Eleman domer, hazoin tzrich shear, that there is no shear to the hazor, so then, how will we be able to understand the Gemara? Answers the Gemara, I feel man dama hazor ain't tzrich shear. According to man dama, the hazor doesn't require a shear. Hani mila gaba de gavra. There's no amount that has to hit the person. Even the most minimal amount that hits the person, he's going to be tar. Al b'mono, when we speak about the keli, everybody agrees that the tzrich shear, and that's what we're speaking about here. That the noisea, the person who's carrying that keli, has to have at least a shear. The Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us, how much do you have to have in the keli in which you have the mechatos that it should be considered that the person was carrying that it should be the right amount? It says the Gemara, the amount kadeshiyit b'rosh gvolim, that you could dip the grass into it, the yaza, and spritz it on the person. I feel Abaye Amar, Abaye says that our Mishnah, going back to all the way at the beginning of the Gemara, could be following Filotem Rabbi Akiva. It could be following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. We're speaking about a case. If we're talking about that, how can we understand the Mishnah that way? Ask the Gemara. If the Mishnah is speaking about the Kohen Gadol doing the Avodah all 7 days, but all 7 days were also spritzing on him. And according to Rekiva, it was spritzing mechatos on him. He becomes tamei. Answers the Gemara, David of the Kula Yoima. What we do is we allow the Kohen Gadol to do avoda all day long. Ulafanya, towards the evening, madole, we spritz on him. And then the tovel, he immediately jumps into the mikveh and he does Herif Shemesh. And therefore, by tomorrow, he'll be able to do the avoda again. We learned in the Mishnah that what does the Kohen Gadol do during those 7 days? Mak desek tyrus or meitivus anayrus. He brings the tyrus and the nayrus. So says the Gemara, Alma, it's obvious that our Mishnah opinion is that tyrus aberesha, first you do the tyrus, vahad the nayrus, and then you do the nayrus. For a minute, ask the Gemara, the Mishnah says the Masechta Tomid. Misha Zacha, we've discussed that they had gairolas every day, and we speak about the gairol, somebody who won the gairol to do Disha Mizbeach HaPnimi, and the Mishnah says, then the Mishnah says there's a person who's Zacha B'Menaira, and the Mishnah explains over there what was done with the Menaira. And then the Mishnah says, Misha Zacha B'Ktairis. So obviously, that Mishnah holds that the Menaira was done before the Ktairis. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Man Tana Tamid. Who's the Tana Masechta Tamid that says that the Menaira is before the Ktairis? Rav Shimon Isha Mitzbahu. So that's the opinion of Shimon Isha Mitzbah. But our Mishnah doesn't follow that opinion. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that that's the Mishnah in Masechta Tamid represents the opinion of Shimon Ish HaMitzvah? Ask the Gemara, I'll show you that Rav Shimon HaMitzvah is not the Tana of anonymous Mishnayis in Masechta Tamid. Because there's another Mishnah in Masechta Tamid that springs about how the Zrikas Hadam was done on the Mizbeach HaChitzin. And the Mishnah explains that after the Kohen did the Kabbalah Saddam of the Karban Tamid, Balal Kerem Mizrachat Tzvonis, he came to the northeast corner of the Mizbeach, the Noisen Mizrachat Tzvonah, he spritzes the dam in a way that it should hit both corners. Then he comes to Maravis Deroimus, to the southwest corner, and again, he spritzes the dam, Noisen Maravis Deroimus, that it should hit the southwest corner, the two sides, the Tanei Lo. And we learned in a Braisa, Rav Shimon HaMitzvah, Mishana. Rav Shimon HaMitzvah says no. He says that by the Tamid, we do first Mizrachat Tzfainas, Noisin, Mizrachat Tzfainah, and then Maravas Deroimus, Nosin Marava, Vakach Noisin Deroimah. He doesn't do one Zrika that it hits both walls. He does it separately. So we see that we have Stam Mishnah Masechta Tamid, which is not the opinion of Rav Shimon Isha Mitzvah. Elam Rav Yochanan, so Rav Yochanan reverses. And he says, Man Tana Say the Yoyma, who's the Tan of our Mishnah? Rav Shimon Isha Mitzvah. In other words, he's saying the Mishnah Masechta Tamid and the Mishnah Masechta Yuma, as we clearly saw, are not in agreement. Our Mishnah says that first there was the Ktairus and then the Neirus. The Mishnah Masechta Tamid says a reverse order. And our Mishnah represents Rav Shimon Isha Mitzvah. But ask the Gemara, Rirami say the Yoma, say the Yoma. But we have a different question. The Tanan, and later in our Masechta and Daf Chof Hey, we're going to learn, Pius Hasheni, the second Goyrel that was done every day in the base of Migdash, determined, Mishaychit, who's going to Shech the Karmat Tamid, Mizayrik, who's going to do the Zrik Saddam, Mi Medashim is Bech HaPnimi, who's going to clear out the Mizbech HaPnimi, Mi Medashim is a Menoira, Mi Mala Saivarim, the keves, who's going to bring the avarim to the keves, and then lepayis shlishi, the third goyrul was chadoshim leketayrus ba'afisu. The new people, somebody who never did the ketayrus, should now get a chance to do the ketayrus. And the reason they never had the same kohen do ketayrus twice in his lifetime is because ketayrus ma'asheres, the ketayrus makes a person wealthy. They want to give everybody a chance. And the Rama, based on this, in Yoridei's Simen Reish Samachei Sif Yud Aleph, says that the same reason is that somebody who Baruch Shem has a baby should not give Sandik to the same person twice. Because the Sandik is somebody who is like Makdik Tyrus. And that's like somebody who's Makdik Tyrus, we don't have the same person, so too should be by a tzaddik. The Gra disagrees with the Ramah, and many Paiskim discuss that the halach, that the minig in many communities is that they give the Rav, the Rebbe, tzaddik by every child. So the question is, if the Ramah says, just like Al Gemara says, we don't give the same person to do the Torah twice, how do we allow the same Rav to be tzaddik more than once? So now, the answer is that it's really very much, the answer is in our Gemara. Because in our Gemara, we've been learning that the Kohen Gadol doesn't have that limitation. And we learned in the Mishnah that the Kohen Gadol could do whatever he wants. And we said that the Rambam says that that's even regarding the Ketairis. And we don't. And the Raya is very strong. Because for 7 days of before Yom Kippur every year, the Kohen Gadol did the Ketairis all 7 days. So if somebody is in the category of a Kohen Gadol, then he could do the Ketairis as often as he wants. So I saw Rabbi Yoshev says that the Rav of a town, and other Paiskim say this, I'm sorry for, the Rav of a town is like the Kohen Gadol, and he could do the Ketairis as often as he wants. But we see clearly from here that the Menorah was done before the Ketairis. Our Mishnah says that the Ketairis was done before the Menorah. And these are two Mishnayis in Masech de Yuma. Amr Abaya, Loikasha. When they cleaned the menorah, they didn't do all 7 candles at the same time. They started with 5, and then they stopped, and then they did the last 2. So now we could have pshat in our Mishnah, very geschmack. Yes, all the Mishnayis, Masechta Yuma and Masechta Tamid, could all be fine. First they did the first 5 candles, and then they did the Ketairis, and then they did the last 2 candles. So on one hand, the menorah is before the Ketairis, and on the other hand, the Ketairis is before the menorah.